It is the 19th of November. That's right. We are here to do a mailbag show. I'll be joined by Noah Rubin. I don't even know if we've done a show together since the season started. We'll figure that out when we jump on the show. This is the, as I click the button. Okay, this is the Balls Deep podcast. Let's go Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King, your host. Find me on Twitter at Adam King 91. Find me on Blue Sky at Adam King 91. .bsky.social. Yeah, I'm getting there. At .bsky.social. I don't even know if we need to say that. I'll find out if Noah knows whether people can just search by Adam King 91. Let's bring him in. Add to stage. Noah, have we done a show this season? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know if we have. I think the times just haven't lined up for it. But it's great to be back on the Balls Deep podcast to be able to talk about some fantasy hoops.
Yes, and we are on Blue Sky. You are on Blue Sky as well. Do we need to say the .bsky social, or can people just search by the first bit? I don't know.
I think everybody has the bsky.social. So I think it's just kind of assumed that that's going to follow whatever you say is your username. I think I don't know if there's like a way to change that, because I looked at it and I couldn't change mine, but I thought I saw an account that didn't have it. So I don't know if you have to pay for that, or I don't know. I'm still learning, but I think just assume that everybody has bsky.social.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And it seems to be gaining some traction. It's maybe this is a thing. I know we've had we had threads for a little bit, but that didn't really turn into much. But this one. No, this one seems maybe legit. So let's see.
Okay. The formatting of it makes a lot more sense for us than I think Threads did, because Threads was, I guess, only like a for you algorithm page. And this is like not that at all. So it's, up to date. You don't have to try and find things. Like, it's right where you want it. And that the starter packs thing is the most genius idea I've ever seen. Like, I don't know, that's so mind-boggling to me, but it's like, yeah, it's great for a new app, but think about somebody that just joined Twitter and was looking to follow fantasy basketball. It's like just having an easy way to do things like that. I think it makes sense for other social media apps to do it, but it's great for Blue Sky.
It is. It makes following people a lot easier. One button, follow all. So, no, works well. And we are also, I didn't say we're also, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, still Twitter for now. Please rate, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. So we are here to do a mailbag show. You've just done a mailbag show, I believe, on the Roto World show. I noticed that, and it was just, was it just you and Raph?
Just me and Raph.
No Dan Titus, that's sad.
He does. We do the like the Roto World Fantasy Basketball Show.
Oh, okay. So this is different. Okay. Yeah. So you're doing two. All right. So we have got some questions. So I'm gonna just bring up. So I got some questions yesterday. So
okay, cool.
Dan and I are usually doing a show, regular show at this time, but he's got some family stuff going on, so he wasn't available today. And I thought, hey, I haven't done a show with Noah in a while. And I sent the message last night, and I thought, oh, he might get back to me before I go to bed. And he didn't. But I had to get up during the night, my old man bladder. So I was able to check and saw that you had said yes. So
I think you caught me like probably less than 30 minutes after I actually went to bed, because it was like 2:30 that you messaged me. I think I got to bed at like 2 last night because of the late games and then the pickups of the day column. So almost.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's go through just the questions that I got. These were over on Blue Sky. We got these questions. So you haven't seen these unless you've had a look at them in the, because you can access all of our stuff here because you're part of our network, so you can see everything. But all right, so first question from Air Dunks, and I won't say bsky.social, just from Air Dunks. Mike Conley or Chris Dunn, rest of season games cap roto? Initial thoughts on this one?
I mean, we talked a good bit about Chris Dunn and a little bit about Mike Conley during the Q&A that Raph and I just did. I think I would lean Conley just off the sense that even though Chris Dunn is starting right now, he's only been good like twice. The minutes haven't always been there. Conley's starting to pick it up a little bit. So I think I would probably lean Conley here because Chris Dunn's role feels significantly less secure as well.
Yeah, I think I'm Conley as well. I do love that Dunn is starting and getting this opportunity, but I think the Timberwolves have figured out, which we saw this last year, that they need Conley on the floor to win because they haven't been good. So his minutes, yeah, they do look like maybe they're on the rise. So I think I would go Conley slightly in that situation. Longley Hoops, if we were to, here is a question that we could just do a whole show on this. If we were to redraft today, what do you think Dyson Daniels' ADP would be? Now we are two of the, are we leading the Dyson Daniels fan boat? I think we're right up the front.
Yeah, like definitely like top five for sure.
Top five. So let's just bring up player ranks and stuff. I think he's about top 40.
Fifteenth on Basketball Monster, but a couple of the guys in front of him, like Rob Williams, has played four games.
Okay,
and he's 13th. So like, yeah, top 15.
All right, and his ADP, Yahoo ADP, was around 140. So,
it's a good value pick so far. We'll say that.
Very good value pick, and we were obviously going a lot higher than that. I think I took him. I know I took him inside the top 100 in a couple of leagues, and we had to outbid each other to get him in a couple of leagues that we're in together. So, yeah, I mean, where do you think his ADP would be? It's obviously not top 15, but if are we at a point now where people are of the opinion that this sticks, like this is who he is, or are people still skeptical and thinking, well, this is just a one-month sample size and I even had someone yesterday message me and say, is Dyson Daniels going to end up being a bust? He had zero steals today. I went, oh, yeah, but he had four blocks. did you look at that
column? That plays pretty well.
Yeah. Helpful. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you? Where do you think he'd be going in drafts if we were drafting now?
Man, top 15 or anywhere close to that is way too high. I think as far as, I guess, the first – part of the question you asked me about like whether or not like this is just who he is, if this kind of production sticks, like I think a lot of what he's done is definitely something he can keep doing for the rest of the season. I think Bogdanovic coming back maybe cuts into his minutes by like two. I think he's been simply too good for that to really impact his role. I could see the points dropping by like one or two, but like I think that's most of what he's done with the rebounds, assists, pretty sustainable, a block per game. I think that's sustainable. He's not shooting very well, so it's not like, you know, he's hitting 55% of his threes. Like obviously that's not going to stick. I think the steals probably come down to like 2.7, 2.8, and that's like pretty realistic and also incredible for fantasy. Yep. So I don't think we're asking him to continue to get, you know, three plus steals per game. If he does, great. If not, I think at least 2.5, like leading the league in steals, like that's very, very realistic at this point. As far as where he'd get drafted, I think that's such a hard thing to say. I think if we actually like sat down and went through a full redraft, like that would give me a better answer. But I want to say like top 50 off the top of my head, like if fifth round maybe. So I don't think that's unrealistic at all for that to happen, especially knowing what we know so far. And like you said, it is a small sample size. Like that not help his nine cat rank will probably drop as they continue to play games, and that's okay. I think top 50. I don't know. Is that crazy? Is that way too low, way too high?
No, top 50 was initially where my mind went, and I think it would depend a little bit on your build. Like if you're punting free throws, he gets a bit of a bump. If you're punting points, he probably gets a bit of a bump.
True.
So, yeah, I think probably top 50 range. And spoiler, there is a message coming out today, which is already in my drafts. I am asking analysts if they want to do a mock redraft just because I saw this question. I thought, interesting, because I thought, if people are keen, let's do a mock redraft. Let's see if, because Wemby was, I would say, unanimous number one, close to by the end. Yeah. I don't know that that's going to be the case now. If we do a mock redraft, is Jokic going to be number one? Does Embiid get drafted inside the top 20? I'm not sure. Does Kawhi Leonard even get drafted? Does he exist anymore? So I just thought it'd be a fun exercise to do a redraft and see how people's opinions have shifted over this first month. But anyway, that's nothing to do with
it. I think just, you know, I'm just looking at hashtag basketball and their ADP data. Around pick 50, like this is data between Yahoo, ESPN, and Fantrax. That'd be like Jamal Murray, Nikola Vucevic. And obviously there's guys that were drafted earlier that would be drafted significantly later. And a lot of guys that were outside the top 50 that would go top 50. But I think top 50, maybe like 45-ish is actually something I would do for Dyson Daniels. But we'll see. We'll see during your little redraft we'll do.
Yeah, maybe he'll be a first rounder. Maybe if I'm pick 12, maybe we'll take him.
We'll take a flyer on Dyson Daniels at pick 12. That's crazy.
That's right. Okay, so Violet Gill, would you make fantasy rostering decisions any differently for games that are part of the in-season tournament or Emirates Cup, whatever it's called, and there's a second part. Do you think rotations, minute splits change for these games? So this is an interesting one, I think, because last year we saw the in-season tournament make its debut and some people were skeptical and other players going to care. And I think it was pretty clear that they did care. And the atmosphere, the intensity definitely goes up a notch in those in-season tournament games. But to the point where we're making different decisions, are we looking at teams rolling out? Almost, because we know that when we get to the playoffs, the rotations change. They normally run 7 or 8 man rotations as opposed to 9 or 10. Is that something we need to factor in when we are rolling out our, like for today, because today is in-season tournament, isn't it? I think it's Tuesdays and Fridays. Yeah. So are we making any adjustments to our rosters based on whether it's an in-season tournament game?
I don't think at this point you're really making roster changes or at this point. Okay, so roster changes, no. I don't think that you're, okay, I'm going to stream this guy in because of the in-season tournament. I don't think that's necessarily a thing. I think, you know, if it is like a heavier day, because some of these days we'll have like 12 games playing at once and you're having to make decisions on who to start, you could let this be a factor of the point differential aspect, because if teams are still, you know, thinking that they have a chance to win their division or make the final eight or final four or whatever it is, and point differential matters all that much, then they're going to play their starters till the end of the game to try and win by as many points as they can. I mean, we could see that where, you know, a team has to win by a certain amount of points to make it in, and you know their starters are going to play a lot of minutes, especially if they can make that happen so they can get to Vegas. I think that's the only factor there. And that's something where it's not like, especially at this point, that I'm going to say, oh, I'm going to stream this guy in because of that. I think it's something that maybe you start a player on a good team over a player on a bad team that are kind of similar in terms of production, but that's probably it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm much the same. I think have a look at the standings and, are they going to make it? What's that point differential? That sort of thing. So probably in the first game or two, a little bit tricky, but as we get towards that back end of the preliminary section of the in-season tournament, because I think Detroit are undefeated at the moment. Atlanta are undefeated as well, I think, in the in-season tournament. And then they went and lost to bloody Atlanta, man. Imagine being a Hawks fan. They beat Boston. Torturous. they beat some whoever they beat in the second game, and then they lost to Washington or Portland or something.
Lost to Portland, the other night. Washington's two wins this season have both been against the Hawks.
Yeah, man, frustrating. All right, friend of the show, Karan Tower, with a question.
Right.
What is a realistic sell high for Josh Hart? Now, he is not someone I drafted anywhere, but he's had a good start to the year. Let me just bring him up. So Basketball Monster has him as the 38th ranked player in standard. Yeah, I'm standard 9 cap. 13.7 points, 8.9 rebounds, 5.9 assists, 0.9 steals, 58 and 88 percentage-wise, and 1.2 threes. So after a pretty bad preseason, he's been good. If you were looking to move off him, what number comes to your head? For me, I'd probably and it would have to be top 100 at least, maybe top 80.
The number that came to mind for me was top 75, but I think maybe that's a little bit too rich now if you're saying top 80, top 100. I don't know exactly how you would look at that, because I guess categories would be a factor there as well as far as what you need. But I don't know. Is there any names that come to mind for you as guys that you would trade Josh Hart for? Or do you want me to, like, I can just look through it a few names and you tell me if you'd trade Josh Hart for them.
Yeah, maybe do that. I'm looking through now. Like I said, he isn't someone that I drafted him with. Then the Knicks are a tricky one because, like, he's been good. If I don't know if if Brunson went down with an injury for 2 weeks, Hart could be a top 30 player because their rotation is so shallow that Hart is one of those guys that can sort of step up. He's not a one-for-one replacement. He just steps up if anyone is injured.
Mm-hmm.
So there is potential, I suppose, maybe more so than with other players, for him to have periods where he outperforms himself. But then likewise, we know that he can go back to sort of just being a 11 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists and a steal, which isn't that good. So, yeah, he's a tricky one. But sure, roll off a couple of names.
All right, just kind of looking through some 9-cat values, which obviously look pretty skewed, especially at this point. Would you trade Josh Hart for Norm Powell?
Again, as you said, a little bit stat dependent because Powell is just like points and threes, really, that's it. I've got Powell in a few leagues and he's been really good. I mean, I do worry about the Kawhi thing, but as I said, we haven't heard boo from the Clippers as to if and when Kawhi is returning. So I'd probably stick with Powell, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. Okay. Josh Hart for Christian Brown.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not asking the easy ones.
No, that's tough as well. Maybe Hart in that one is close. They're pretty similar in terms of role. They're a little bit different in what they do, but their role is very similar. Yeah, maybe Hart, just because he's a little bit more proven. I know Brown has been good, but it is a small sample size given this is the first time he's ever done this.
Yeah. All right. Josh Hart for Jalen Suggs, a little bit of a sell high buy low situation.
Yeah, Suggs has been a little bit underwhelming the last week or two without Paolo. Do I need rebounds or steals? That's what it would come down to for me. I think Suggs will get a little bit better. I think when Paolo comes back, Suggs probably gets better. Maybe I'd go Suggs ever so slightly, but again, very close.
Yeah. I can keep going if you want, or we can just move on to something else.
Yeah, no, that'll do it because they're too hard. All right, let's go.
We could do the number 139 player in 9-cat leagues. We can do Josh Hart for Joel Embiid. Would you do that?
Hart to the moon. I'd take Hart every situation there.
That's so sad.
I'm not touching Joel Embiid. Well, and I saw when I woke up this morning, I saw the in a few of my group things that Tyrese Maxey has called out. Yeah, Joel Embiid. Not surprising.
I love that.
It's so
awesome that you did it.
It'll be interesting. Like, Joel Embiid comes across, don't know him personally, obviously, but as a player, he may have a little bit of a sook here and sort of pack his bags and go home, or it might, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to react.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Now, we have got a few questions coming in, which is very good. All right. So, Jason Johns, trying to trade for Giddy in a 12-team 9 cap. Would you give up Norm or Koulibaly for Giddy?
I don't think I'd give up either of those guys for Josh Giddey. And that could just be me. I'm not really interested in trading for Josh Giddey at this point. It could be a category thing, like we've talked about. Like, if you're fine without Norm Powell's points and threes and his singular steal per game, and you want the rebounds and the assists from Giddey and can deal with, you know, the field goal percentage being iffy, the turnovers being iffy, then I think that makes a little bit of sense. I don't think I would trade Koulibaly regardless of the situation, but I think if it's category dependent, then I could make a case for trading Norm, but that would be very much like a sell high for a buy low with no guarantee that the value is going to go back.
Yeah, Giddey hasn't been as good as we thought. I mean, I don't think he's been bad. He's getting assists and rebounds, but the scoring's been hit or miss, and he's not getting a lot of defensive stuff. Would I give up either of them? I'm not as high on Koulibaly as some others, but I do know, like, he has been very good this season. I'm hoping that Brogdon coming back doesn't impact him. I don't think it will too much. I'm not sure I would. Unless, as you said, if you need assists, then yes. But, yeah, if you need points, if you need defensive stuff, then Norm or Koulibaly are both going to get more in those categories. Rusty asks, how long are you holding on to Mark Williams? Good question. I have him in probably three leagues, I want to say. And obviously he went straight into my IR spot. At this point, I think I'm just so invested that I'm holding him. I mean, I think I've even got him in one league where I've got five injured players, but I'm still happy to leave him in my IR spot. And maybe that's just me being stubborn because I drafted him and I feel like I've got to at least see what he looks like on the court. But I don't know. It's tough. I mean, are you holding him anywhere?
I'm double checking. I think the only league I have him in is the head-to-head roto combo league that we have. And okay. I have literally him and Kawhi Leonard have been sitting in my IR since we completed the draft. So I don't know. I'm probably, like you said, probably a little bit too stubborn to like drop him at this point, just because I made the pick. He hasn't played yet there, but it's also, I mean, based on what we saw last season, that's frustrating enough. Just with Mark Williams again, Charlotte is not going to be good about reporting their injuries. So I'll still hold him just because he can just sit there on my IR for all I care, but hopefully this isn't a consistent question every week.
No, it is a tough one though, because we don't really have a timeline on him and haven't had one for what feels like a year now. So yeah, look, I think if you've got multiple IR spots, which you should have, most leagues should have multiple IR spots, then just leave him in there. But if you are in a situation where you've got sort of two or three other players that are potentially out for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you need to start winning some matchups, then yeah, maybe you have to move on. Matthew Walsh, morning Kingy and Noah, morning Matthew. Need to drop either Clarkson or Kuminga to open up a roster spot for Barnes when he's back off IR. I mean, these preemptive ones, because I don't think, unless something's come out again, I haven't checked injuries or anything this morning since I got up. Have we had an update on Barnes?
I don't think I've seen one.
I wasn't aware yesterday that his return was imminent. I guess where I'm going is that, yes, look, there could come a point where you need to drop one of these guys to activate Barnes, but that could be 2 weeks away. And by that point, Kuminga might have sprained his ankle and he's out for a month. Or you just don't know. Or someone else on your roster is injured and you can swap them in. If you had to make that decision right now, like say they said, okay, Barnes is back and you really wanted to get him active, who would you drop, Clarkson or Kuminga? Obviously, both of them are droppable when compared to Barnes. I don't know. Is it Kuminga?
I kind of think it is, and I didn't think it would be, especially in a points league at this point. But, yeah, he hasn't been very good. And I mean, Jordan Clarkson's Jordan Clarkson, and the last few games have been pretty good for him. So I think it might be Kuminga's the one that I drop. But like you said, like, that's not anything we need to rush at this point. Like, by the time Scotty Barnes comes back, Steve Kerr will probably have changed his starting lineup and said he wants to roll with this lineup moving forward like 3 times. And so Kuminga could be back in the starting lineup. He could be in, like, seeing even less minutes. So we don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a decision that may need to come, but at the moment I wouldn't sort of worry myself with making that decision because there's nothing imminent for Barnes. Like, he's going to return. He could, but nothing that I've seen anyway. Hini Mini, always asking questions on my show. Very nice. Would you trade Freddie and Dyson for Halley and Eddie? Okay. So I think are we saying Van Fleet and Daniels for Halliburton and Eddie? Who's Eddie?
Probably Edie.
Edie, you reckon?
That's what I would think.
Could be. Exactly. Okay. It could be Edie. Just clarify, Hini Mini, is it Zach Edie? Assuming it is Fred Van Fleet, Dyson Daniels for Halliburton and Zach Edie, I would rather the Fred Van Fleet Dyson side, I think.
I agree. I think that both Halliburton and Fred Van Vliet have been a little bit disappointing this season, but they're both starting to play a little bit better, even if it doesn't happen every single game. Zach Edie has been good. He's missing his first game tonight. The minutes haven't been consistent all year, but they're starting to get a little bit better. But I don't think that Halliburton is the difference between Dyson Daniels and Zach Edie, like, that significantly better than Fred Van Vliet, at least so far this season.
All right, Cow Chad, another friend of the show, is Garland plus Bane. Here we go, a dynasty question. Just what you like. Is Garland plus Bane plus MPJ or John Collins too steep for Jay Will, say Jalen Williams? He's Jay Dub, isn't he?
The good Jalen Williams is Jay Dub.
Jalen Williams. Garland. Jay Dub. Garland, Bane, and one of Michael Porter Jr. or John Collins for Jalen Williams in Dynasty. Initially, to me, that seems like a lot to give up for Jalen Williams. But, I mean, how high are we on him in Dynasty now?
I haven't gone through and done any Dynasty rankings since I put some out for the draft guide. But at that point, I want to say Jalen Williams was right around – was he 25 or 35 for me, but he's definitely gone up. I think he's probably a top 20 guy at this point, maybe top 15. And some people may see him even higher than that because he's been so good this year. Darius Garland is a guy that has kind of started to drop down dynasty rankings before the season, but now that he's actually healthy, he's been fantastic as well. So I think, in my opinion, the difference between Jalen Williams and Darius Garland is not Desmond Bane plus another productive veteran player. So I think that is too much for me. Just for Jalen Williams, especially because you'd be giving up 3 players for one. Like, I'd need more back.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction, was that looked like a lot. You sort of have to obviously dig into it. I think Garland has got back on track this season, and Bane, I think people have just cooled on Bane because of the injuries a little bit. Right. They've sort of not forgotten about him, but he's a very good player and he's still quite young. So, and Michael Porter Jr., John Collins aren't old either. So I know Dynasty, obviously age plays a factor, but it's not like they're in their early 30s. Both of them are what, 26, 27, something like that?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Just sorry, I'm just reading. Crazy that once upon a time I chose Hawks legend AJ Griffin. I'm assuming that's AJ Griffin over Hawks legend Dyson Daniels with my first round pick. Yeah. Yeah, it's
look back at like first round picks that we've all made in rookie drafts and in redraft leagues, like some of the bad picks and it's or bad trades even. I always like doing that just to go back and make myself feel bad about some of the trades and picks that I've made, but that one hurts now.
We all have regrets. Mitso Bass, is Gafford a drop in a 9-cap 12 team league? He's producing in limited minutes, but do you see the production lasting? Now, I had a question about Gafford when I did the the post game show for probably not yesterday, day before, I don't know, one of my post game shows. And it was the first game where Lively started. So that was two games ago, I think. And, I mean, my initial response was, because it was a very similar question, are we dropping him? Are we panicking on him because he's coming off the bench? And my initial reaction was, well, I actually don't think his role is changing that much because he has been starting, but he's only playing 20 minutes a night this season. I think the plan was always for Lively to start, but even when he was like the minute split was 28-20 or 27-21, and I think it probably sticks. So I think if you drafted Gafford and you're relatively pleased with what he's been doing to this point, I'm not sure that much changes.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you look back his first two games of the season when he started, 18 minutes a game. In each and the last two games, 18 minutes, game four, that 19. He saw a few extra minutes when Lively was out. But I agree. His role hasn't changed that much. And actually, you know, double-double in their last game of the game before that, 22, 7, and 3 blocks. Like, no, he can still be productive in 18 minutes per game. And you know, you're getting value in two or three categories, but you're going to get the same old Dan Gafford, regardless if he's playing 18 minutes or 28 minutes. The numbers look pretty similar.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you could potentially make a case that him coming off the bench helps because he's up against backup centers, not frontline centers. So, I think even if he's getting close to 20 minutes, I think our expectations just stick with what we had sort of 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I don't think I'd be dropping him. Admiral Nida is trading Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson. Did I see something that he's out for a significant portion of time? Was there something on?
I don't think there's anything new, but like a week ago, I think there was a report that he was going to miss like 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I thought I saw something.
I don't think I've seen anything recently.
So so there was something, this was on the Roto Baller NBA account. So per Shams on the Pat McAfee. So that was the same show where they were talking about the Joel Embiid. So per Shams, Zion Williamson is going to be out for a considerable amount of time, which I think we were of the opinion that he was anyway, but this probably just confirms that this is a, what's he been out for now? 2 weeks? No, it wouldn't be 2 weeks, a week, maybe 10 days. I'm assuming, what's the day? I'm assuming, are we looking at January for Zion, do you think? Like, could it be another 5-6 weeks? It's hamstrings are tricky, and he had, remember, he had this injury last year as well. So, I don't know. Question. Is trading Zion for Alex Sarr and Keontae George selling high or selling low? Will the Pelicans try to tank? Well, it's selling low because Keontae George has been terrible. And Sarr, I mean, Sarr's been as expected.
Pretty good.
I think he's been fine. You're selling very low on Zion there, but are we selling high in terms of, when does Zion come back? Does he play full, like 32, 34 minutes a night, or do they rest him on back-to-backs? And yes, is their season at a point where by the time they get their guys back, they're almost like Memphis were last year, where they'll just go, well, we might as well just write this season off and focus on next season?
I think as far as will the Pelicans try to tank, I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't seen reports about Willie Green being on the hot seat, but I can't imagine that if they miss the playoffs again, that like he'll have a ton of job security. I think that's definitely something they could look at, even if it is like injuries that have really decimated every season that he's coached. I think, you know, there is certainly a chance that that gets called into question. So I don't think that, you know, I think he won't be okay with trying to tank. And CJ McCollum and Jordan Hawkins are very close to returning. DeJounte Murray's probably only a couple weeks away. So if the team, and then, I mean, Herb Jones, I don't remember the exact timeline on him off the top of my head, but as those guys start to come back, I assume they'll win more games. I don't think that the Pelicans will be tanking. I think that they'll have a better record by the time Zion is back, whether that is, you know, December or January or further than that. So as far as that actual trade, I think that was kind of interesting. I don't think it's enough for me to trade Zion, especially if I had drafted him.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, I think I'd be looking for more still. It is tough when he's potentially going to miss weeks. Zip asks, where do you see Rozier and Keegan Murray rest of season? I have to choose one for my roto team. I need threes, steals, and some points. Thank you. So who would you go with, Rozier or Keegan Murray? For me, based on what we've seen, this is a pretty easy one.
I think Rozier, based off the numbers that we've seen so far. I mean, Keegan Murray's steals are down to a half a steal per game. They're at a steal last year. I think Rozier is what I'd rather have for those three games or three categories.
Yeah, I think for those categories, it's probably Rozier. I think overall I like Murray, but
that's fair.
But I mean, both have been terrible. So it's like Rozier is injured at the moment. Yeah. And I do wonder, because he did say apparently to his team that this is something he's been dealing with for a while. So,
and he didn't tell them until
the
night before he got ruled out or something.
So because he started the season okay, the first couple of games, and then he sort of just plateaued and hasn't been good. And so maybe he has been dealing with this foot injury and tried to play through it and then realized it's not getting better. So I wouldn't be surprised if Rozier misses a few games here, and the Heat, we know the Heat, they want to push for the playoffs. It's not in them to tank. So then they're going to need Rozier out there playing well. So they're probably going to give him a rest here. So it's probably Rozier. I think if I had to choose one, but both of them at the moment have been pretty average. So it's tough. Tough out there. Tanner Stant. Time to drop Middleton, another player that supposedly exists. Not much on the waivers, and I think I'd rather use as a stream spot. He's another guy that I didn't touch in drafts, and we don't really have a firm timeline, as far as I'm aware, on Middleton. It's just, I guess he'll be back at some point. So I guess the question is here, are we holding him or are we just dropping him? Do you not have an IR spot? That would be, I guess, my question. If you're using his spot as a stream spot, then you obviously don't have him in IR. But is he worthy of an IR? I guess that maybe that's another question. Like, what's Middleton's ceiling at this point, given how banged up he is?
Yeah, that's a big question, because we've seen him in the past, you know, have injuries, return from injuries, and then play 20 minutes per game, you know, sit back to backs, miss a week at a time. Like, I'm fine dropping him, especially if you're just going to try and stream and you have, you know, if you have multiple IL spots fit like full and you're needing to drop somebody because you're dealing with other injuries, then I think Middleton's totally fine to drop, because we don't know. And I'm not confident he's going to be a huge difference maker when he is back.
No. I guess the question for me, I would say, is if someone dropped Middleton in my league, would I rush to grab him? Would I prioritize him, pick him up, throw him in my spot? Probably not.
If I had it and I was able to just like add him right in, I had an open spot, then that's about it. If it's like I was having to drop somebody that could actually play games for me, I wouldn't do it.
No. And yes, it was Zach Edey. So you were right. It was not Eddie. It was Edey. No, good call there. When you are ready, let's go, boys. Yes, very enough. Lots of friends at the show here. I've got Goga in a 14-team category league. Is it time to get off the Goga train, or is he worth a hold even when Wendell comes back? I also have Goga in a couple of spots. I'm very skeptical because we saw this last year where Goga had a period of top 80, top 70 value, whatever he's doing. With Carter out, but then when Carter came back, Goga almost fell out of the rotation. It's not a situation where when Carter comes back, Goga goes from 27 minutes to 20 minutes. He could go from 27 minutes to 3 minutes or 0 minutes. It really depends on the matchup. Are we getting off the Goga train? I guess what is getting off the train means, I wouldn't drop him. I'm not sure you could trade him because anyone who knows their stuff is going to be, much like me, skeptical of what his role looks like. So I don't think you could get much back in a trade. So I'm just holding him everywhere that I've got him. And even when Carter comes back, I'll probably give him 2 games just to see have they... I doubt they have, but will they ever make that move and go, oh, actually, Goga might be better than Wendell Carter or a pure backup? But I don't think it happens.
Yeah, I don't think, because also the way this question is worded, is he worth a hold even though Wendell is back? And I don't think Wendell Carter is back. I was just looking real quick, like he's still out. So I would definitely keep him streaming until Wendell is back. And then after that, you know, evaluate. I wouldn't drop him immediately, but I wouldn't be, I don't know, if you need to leave him on your bench for a game or something like that, see who they start. But I guess another factor is there's reports that the Lakers are interested in trading for a center. Orlando has 3. So is there a chance that one of the 3 gets moved? Perhaps. Yep. And that could open up minutes for Goga, whether it's with the Lakers or the Magic. So,
yep. But yeah, hold for now. JJ Styles, what are your outlooks for Asar Thompson rest of season? I have him in two leagues in my IR spot. Do you have Asar anywhere?
I have him in a draft-only league, and then I want to say in my IR and industry pickup, and then that's it.
Okay. What are we thinking for him? It's been a while since he's played. Detroit are a much better team now than they were when he last played for them. So I guess what do you see as his role? Because it's going to be a slow sort of ramp up because he just hasn't played for so long. He's got to get conditioning back. I do think he plays a meaningful role for them, but it's not like they were. They've got Tobias. They've got Cade Cunningham playing really well. They've got Isaiah Stewart now coming off the bench as the backup center. So I don't know. What do you think his role is minutes-wise, production-wise?
So I think that, you know, they'll bring him along slowly. That's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. It's not because I was asked about this. Raph and I were in the Q&A we just did. And, you know, will he sit back-to-backs? I don't think it's that kind of injury. It's like the fact that it is more of like a health issue as opposed to like a lower body injury. Like, I don't think back-to-backs are as much of a factor, barring him just being out of shape, which, you know, as they ramp him up, I'm assuming that'll get better. I think early on when he finally does come back, we could be looking at 10 to 15 minutes in very short stints, and then eventually working his way into like 20 or 25 minutes per game, which is enough time for him to get a bunch of rebounds and some defensive numbers. But Detroit's been very good defensively this season. I saw a stat. I don't remember exactly what the measurement was, but they were the sixth best defense in the league. And just looking at it, they allow the third fewest points per game in the East. And I think it's like they're like top 10 overall in points allowed yeah. per game. So the team is better. The defense is better. And he's only going to help that. So I assume that he would be getting like when he's back to like full strength, full health, fully back in the rotation, like he should be getting 20 to 25 minutes per game. Cause right now, I mean, they're giving a lot of minutes to Malik Beasley and Tim Hardaway. And obviously his skill set's different. He's not spacing the floor with those guys, but just in their last game, Fontecchio got 15 minutes. Ron Holland got 9 minutes. Marcus Sasser got 6 minutes and Sar Thompson is better than all those guys. So I think pretty easily 20 to 25 minutes per game with some typical like defensive numbers and rebounds is pretty realistic.
Yeah, I think we know who he is in terms of what he brings. He started, if you remember back to last year, he started really well. I think he was top 30 even at one point. But rebounds, defensive stuff. He'll hit a three now and then, but certainly not a reliable or consistent 3-point shooter. So. Yeah, I think in terms of if we were looking at value, I don't think he'll be a top 100 player or anything like that. But in certain builds, he will be able to help you in those categories. Adam Wardenhito, thanks, Adam. No worries. That's why we're here. We're here to take questions. Matt Carmody, there we go, another friend of the show. Would you trade Zion for Zubats in 19 head-to-head? I have Zion, Chet, and Aaron Gordon. In my IL spot, that's an interesting one. Zion for Zubats. Zubats is someone I don't have, but he has been good. They do have Mo Bamba now, so they do have a, I don't know, do we call Bamba a reliable backup? I'm not sure we call him a reliable backup. Well, let's call him a backup. So I don't think that impacts Zubats too much, but his minutes have been very high. When compared to the rest of his career. So there is maybe there's a chance they scale him back slightly. Zion, obviously, per game is the far better player here, but with the potential month or 6 weeks out, would you just take Zubats and run with it and leave Zion in the dust?
I think it's a tough one. Just looking at the minutes, though, in the two games since Mo Bamba returned, 33 minutes and 36 and a half minutes for Zubats. So I'm not too worried about that being a factor. And Mo Bamba, I think it was like 15 minutes and then 7 minutes. So,
yep.
But as far as what I trade, I think it's tough for me because I hate like losing value on trades. Mm. And you would be selling low on Zion. You would be getting a worse player for a better player. But the worst player would play basketball games, which is, you know, I've been told that's a factor in fantasy basketball.
It helps.
So I think if there was a more concrete timeline on Zion, it would make me feel better about answering it. I think if you're in a position where your team is like not doing very well and it's, you know, because you have Zion, Chet, and Aaron Gordon on your IL and you just really need help right now to even make the playoffs, then it's kind of a move you have to make. But if your team is one of the top three records or something, I might wait to make a move like this and just try and, you know, if you've already been doing pretty well without Zion, just keep the luxury stashed on your IL, or if you don't have enough IL spots, then just the end of your bench.
Yeah, I think, I'd try and hold Zion, but I actually wouldn't mind doing this trade. Like I know Zion is the better player, but I think Zubats is having a really good year and I don't really see a ton changing. The Clippers have been pretty good. I think they've probably surprised people with how competitive they've been this season. I actually don't mind that for a trade. All right, a couple more questions. Razor. Who will finish higher rest of season, Bilal Coulibaly or Alex Saar? Does it come down to Kuz being traded? poor Kyle Kuzma. Who finishes higher? Well, I think it's probably Saar just because of, as we know in rankings, being elite in one category like blocks can bump you up significantly. So I think if we're just looking at pure number rank, it's probably Saar, because if he can average 2.1 blocks, that's going to put him up in the top 60, just because he's getting rebounds and he's that. So, but I think if we're looking at overall appeal, who is a better option, it's probably Koulibaly.
Yeah, I think I agree with that thought process as well. I think a couple of the factors that impact this is Koulibaly has shot 55% from the floor so far, and Alex Saar has shot 35% from the floor so far. And I assume that both of those numbers will get closer to each other. Like, I don't think Koulibaly is going to shoot 55% over the course of the season. And I assume that Saar will at least get a little bit better. And also Saar's played 25 minutes, Koulibaly's 35 minutes per game. So I think as the season goes on, even if Koulibaly holds his value, Saar's value probably increases enough to pass him in terms of straight nine cap value. But like you said, I'd probably rather have Koulibaly for the rest of the season than Saar, but I don't think it's that far off, and it could be category dependent.
And I do think Valanciunas gets traded at some point, which maybe then Saar, maybe his minutes go up because they're not having to roll Valanciunas out there for 20 minutes. I dropped Io Desunmu to activate Brogdon. Should I have just dropped both of them? Standard league. Yeah, I don't think either of them are a must roster. Io's been... he's very borderline all season. He's been really borderline for me. He's had some good games. The minutes are okay. I still feel like he needs an injury to be must roster. Based on what we've seen, I'd be okay with dropping both of these guys.
Yeah, I agree. I'd probably be fine dropping both. I'd probably rather have Desunmu, but yeah, maybe that's just me being actively against Malcolm Brogdon playing minutes right now.
Yeah, I think I'd rather Desunmu as well. I think because he played 33 minutes yesterday, where I don't think Brogdon is going to play more than about 22. So, all right. Matt said he's third place. So are we trading Zion for Zubats sitting in third place in a 12-team league? I'd still be okay with doing it.
Yeah.
But if you are sitting third, you probably do have a bit of leeway there. All right, JJ Styles, which rookie do you think will finish number one for fantasy? We just talked about Saar.
I guess some of the candidates here would be Saar, Bub Carrington, Zach Edey, who else?
McCain.
Eve Misi, Jared McCain. That's probably, Donovan Klingon could, just because of the blocks.
It's a tough one because I think, again, if we're looking at rankings, we know that they are skewed by those low-volume categories. So someone like a Zach Edey or a Donovan Klingon, if they have a stretch of like 4 weeks where they average 2.7 blocks, that is going to bump their overall rank way up. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're the best rookie in fantasy. I don't know. It's a tough one. This, as we knew coming into this season, there were no standouts. Carrington, for me, has probably been the best rookie. Whether that means he finishes as the number one rookie, I'm not sure. But at the moment, it's probably him and McCain are probably at the top of the list.
Yeah, I'm just quickly trying to spot all the rookies on Basketball Monster. Bub Carrington's 116, McCain's 120, Saar's 131, Edie's 132, Klingon's 133. And I'm trying to see if there's anybody else that's even anywhere close to that. Keyshawn George is 166. I mean, he'll be close. I don't think he really has a chance to be the best rookie, though, but... Risa Shea will get enough minutes too, but I just don't think the production is going to be there. So, yeah, Bub's number one right now. I feel best about him. But like you said, in terms of straight nine cat rankings, like if Klingon, who has played 16 minutes per game and has blocked 2.1 shots per game, gets to 20, 25 minutes pretty consistently. And then at the end of the season plays 35 minutes per game when the, when they're out of the playoffs race, then he'll have a chance. So I think if we're really, if we're factoring in that it's just nine cap value and we're looking at silly season as well, I think the Klingon will have a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I think so too. Zach Edey, as you said, he's in that range at 131, but he's only blocking one shot a game. So he could easily get to 1.6, 1.7. He has looked better. I know this ankle injury is a bit of a bummer because he's probably going to miss a little bit of time here. Look, Ryan Dunn, I guess potentially playing for Phoenix is sort of the downside there, because they are a team that aren't going to tank or roll out their young guys. So that's the issue for me.
I wrote about Dyson Daniels, and then he went on this streak of steals, and I write about Ryan Dunn. I was expecting the same thing to happen, but it just hasn't happened yet.
It might. Give it time.
This was supposed to be the thing, was, hey, he's going to be so good defensively that the only question is going to be, can he hit an open three? And now it's like, I mean, he's gotten, you know, he's fallen off a little bit with the shots, but the defense numbers haven't been there. It's annoying.
Yeah. All right. One quick one, Ernest Tan. Gafford for Saar. Fair offer. Should I hold Gafford? Do that.
I would trade for Saar.
Trade Gafford to get Saar?
I think I would, unless the only factor here is, can you deal with a player shooting 10 times a game that's shooting 35%, or would you rather have the guy that's going to only shoot a couple times but shoot 55%? Because Gafford might get a few more rebounds. The blocks are both going to be good for both guys, but Saar can do a little bit more in other categories.
Yep. I think it's a fair trade. Like, I think where we are right now, Gafford 20 minutes, 19 minutes. Gafford's role, rate, production, everything, is what he's doing now is what he should be able to do consistently for the rest of the season. What we're seeing now from Saar is his floor. And as we've said, the minutes could increase. He will get more comfortable. He shoots threes. He doesn't hit a lot of them at the moment, but he shoots threes, and Gafford definitely doesn't shoot threes. I think if you're looking for a little bit more across the board, certainly go with Saar if you are in a position where you can sort of take that upside flyer. All right, that will do. That went longer than I thought, but that's okay. Lots of questions. I like questions. Let me just get rid of that off the screen. There we go. Oh, and get rid of the banner off the screen. Look at me, all these questions. All right, what's coming up? You did just do a Roto World mailbag before this, and then you've got the weekly show with Raph and Dan Titus, as well as I've seen some Tank Me Later episodes coming out over the last few weeks. So what's on the agenda for Noah Rubin?
Yeah, I've been trying to do episodes on Mondays and Fridays, but Mondays are usually it just doesn't happen. But like at least once a week for Tank Me Later, hopefully. And then I've been doing two dynasty columns per week for Roto World. I'm putting the finishing touches on a Franz Wagner breakdown right now that should be posted within the next hour, as long as I don't get distracted. Those twice per week. I'm pretty happy with how those have turned out, and I hope that people are reading them and enjoying a little bit more of an in-depth breakdown.
Follow Noah Twitter at NoahRubin22. And I think, are you the same
yes.
What's your Blue Sky handle? The same, NoahRubin22?
It is also NoahRubin22.bsky.social.
Very good. .bsky.social. So follow Noah, follow me at AdamKing91, follow FBI Basketball, follow Roto World, follow everyone. There's plenty of good content out there.
Hit the follow all button when you go on Blue Sky. It works really great.
That's right. It does. And hit us up with any questions. We're always happy to talk fantasy. I am Adam King. He is Noah Rubin. This has been the Balls Deep Podcast Mailbag Edition. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.